Talk Back with Gary Nall, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Nall Show. And now, your host, Gary Nall.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. I'm back in New York City, live in our studio at 83rd and Broadway. We're broadcasting to over 150 countries, dozens and dozens of cities, and it's just nice to know that there are a lot of people out there who are contributing in a positive way to making this world a better place. And that's what we're all about. We like to look at positive solutions to all the problems. Now, on this program, I don't have guests. I don't do investigative reporting. Instead, it's your opportunity to share the questions, the thoughts, the concerns you have, the ideas, the insights. I'm always interested in how creative and insightful people in this audience are. So give us a call now. The number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I have a few things on health nutrition to share with you, but as soon as we get calls up, that's when I'll go to them. And we have people listening all over the United States, so give us a call right now. We have a wonderful full 15 hours of broadcasting coming at you this coming week, and we're going to continue supporting Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. We'll be giving you the latest on a very important report that I just finished today, showing you that members of the United States government and the World Health Organization and at least three makers of vaccines conspired, but in their own words. And this, to my knowledge, has never been done on radio, television, or any place before. I'll take you through what they said, not realizing they were being recorded. So anytime you hear someone on the news say, well, there's no proof that vaccines cause autism, yes, there is. And you'll hear it from the people who feared that that information would get out. Why aren't people in the media interviewing them? And by the way, I didn't have a chance to see it because I've been here working all day. We're working about 20 hours a day to finish the film Death by Medicine. And in about 16 hours, we managed to edit the final edit. About 25 minutes. It takes a long time, especially when we had three editors and two of them are doing special effects. I wanted animation in this, and just, you're really going to appreciate it. I think it's the best documentary we've done. Anyhow, my goal is to have it finished by Friday. Then I'll announce when we're going to share it. Oh my goodness, the phones are lit up, all of them. Detroit, Nevada, Florida, Matthew, Dominic, Paula. A lot of people calling in. We'll get to them in a few moments. Let's go to the latest on health and healing. Always give you something to think about that you wouldn't know otherwise. Calcium supplementation linked to decreased trunk fat gain in postmenopausal women. This was published in Nutrition and Metabolism from Creighton University, and it says that for women who have the right amount of calcium, which is about 1,400 milligrams a day from citrate, that you're going to have lower amounts of abdominal fat and fat in the rump. That's good. Also, most people are taking too little vitamin D. The current USDA recommendations for vitamin D is 200 units for individuals up to 50 years of age and 400. Way too low. They should be at least 2,000 units a day in order to reduce the incidence of disease. So get off the old standard and get with a new standard. For those of you who are in a hospital, and there are times when people need to be there to save their life or help them with conditions, you don't want to go into the hospital food. But one thing you can do, according to the journal Nutrition, is take vitamin C. It'll improve your mood, and especially if you are in a hospital for any length of time. This was a major study, and it took men and women hospitalized in medical and surgical wards. They gave them 1,000 units of vitamin C or a placebo, and twice a day for 10 days. And the vitamin C concentrations more than tripled in those who received the vitamin, and they had a 34% reduction in mood disturbance. Much better mood, vitamin C. So if you know someone who's in a hospital, get them at least 1,000, 2,000 milligrams two or three times a day. Now, I've been telling you to take your berries, and I know a lot of you are taking your berries because I know a lot of you are using Berry Blast. And others are eating a lot of berries, frozen, fresh, or concentrate. Here's the latest from a meeting of the American Chemical Society. The 240th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society was recently held in Boston. And Dr. Poulos of the U.S. Department of Agriculture had some findings about berries. He said it can protect your brains. Dr. Poulos studied the brain's natural house cleaning process, which involves what is called autophagy by cells known as microglia. Now, these cells remove and recycle toxic proteins that can interfere with brain function. Quote, in aging, microglia fail to do their work and debris builds up. That's according to Dr. Poulos. Well, what they found in these experiments was that blueberries and strawberries inhibited a protein that interferes with this autophagy. Quote, the results strongly suggest that the benefits of berries extend beyond the antioxidant, anti-inflammatory effects to cellular toxic clearance through induction of autophagy in the brain. That was in the actual study. Now, in lay language, here's what this means. You've heard me talk about what I call the laws of compensation, which means to the degree that you have anything wrong with you, whether from trauma, injury, nutritional deficiency, you have to exceed the damage done to the cell or even the genetic predisposition at the cellular level. Normal amounts of food will not do that. Normal amounts of nutrients won't do it. But excessive amounts of the phytonutrients will. We've seen this in study after study after study that we've conducted. We just did a major study on hair, where to get into the study for a year, you had to be balding, thinning, or gray for 7 years. And then you were taking certain amounts of phytonutrients, both greens and reds. At the end of a year, with pictures taken on a regular basis, there was a substantial difference. People said who they'd been completely bald for years, now they have hair. Where they were white or gray, they now had black or brown. Where they were thinning, they're not. It strengthened the root system within the hair follicle. Great things happen. Why? Because we have missed the most single important quality within fruits, especially berries. We keep looking at the antioxidants. Well, let me tell you something. An orange, depending upon its size, will contain anywhere from 30 to 50 milligrams of vitamin C. When I'm working with people, depending upon what they have, they can be intravenous up to 200,000 milligrams at a time, or it might be oral, 15,000. Well, how in the world are you going to eat? You'd have to eat 3 bushels of oranges in one day. Impossible to do. Most people are not going to eat more than one orange. So it's not the vitamin C in an orange that makes a difference, nor is it the vitamin antioxidants, because there's not a great deal. It's something else, and it's that phytonutrient. That's why we're seeing rejuvenation of the DNA that's been damaged, whether damaged from anything in aging, alcohol, radiation, different types of inflammatory agents. This shows that the berries rejuvenate the brain. by helping cleanse the debris. And finally, resveratrol reduces weight gain. So in primates, this was from the British Medical Journal on Physiology, and it says that researchers in France at the Center for National Research and Science found that after 4 weeks of resveratrol supplementation, they were able to affect the weight gain in animals. So if you want to reduce your weight, resveratrol helps do that. And that's something new, and that's novel, and we didn't know that before. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. Give us a call, and then we'll get started. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'm Gary Noll. Nice to have you with us. Let's start by saying hello to Mark from Maryland. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Thanks. My question relates to the point of when you're starting to make a lot of these changes, you've adopted a vegan lifestyle, you're exercising 6 to 7 days a week, and then you have your loved ones who somewhat positive, but you know, you share the information, you talk about the benefits, and they continue to do things that you now know are destructive. How do you handle that? And, you know, is there a way to positively encourage them, or do you just kind of go about your life and let them go about theirs?
It's a very good question, Mark. I'm going to answer you philosophically, and I'm going to connect some dots. So be patient and listen carefully. Yesterday morning, I was coming back from a run in the park, and I ran past an apartment that I rented when I first came to New York City. Tiny little place. I'm going to say it was 300 square feet. That's awful small. My bathtub was in the kitchen, and it was just a tiny little bathtub, and it was right smack in the middle. That's all I could afford. It was $67 a month. I stopped for a moment, and all these thoughts flooded back in my head. And then I thought about every weekend on Sunday night, I would be on ABC, ABC Radio Network in the daytime, and on for 3 hours at night. And there was just the engineer myself on the whole floor. And I had a wonderful audience, a very diverse audience. And because of its strong signal, of it was the entire tri-state area. There was no internet at that time. This was in the 80s going into the 90s. I was on there about 12 years. And after I do a show, I would go back and look at the mail, and I got more mail than everyone else on ABC combined, including radio and television. In fact, there's a picture up on my website of Mark Mason, the program director, bringing in 1 day's worth of mail and putting it on the table. 5,500 letters in 1 day for a guy who does a Sunday night radio show. It was one of those unusual things that happened, but no one knew about it except Mark Mason, and I think he took a picture for this. I don't think anything was ever done with it, but he was the one who asked for a picture to be taken. They brought in these mailbags and dumped all out, and I would answer as many of those letters as I could. But every Sunday night when I left the studio, I would stop and look up at that ABC seal over the elevator, and when I walk out the door on 6th Avenue, I'd look over and there'd be the ABC seal, and then I'd walk home. I'd walk up, I think it was on 54th Street, I'd walk up to Central Park, walk across to Central Park West, walk up to 86th Street, and cross to 86th Street to Broadway where I lived, and I knew that when I was there, I was in a passage. I also knew that there'd be a day when I wouldn't be walking out. And I would think about that a lot, about the day will come when I'm no longer here. So therefore, I really want to pay attention to what it means to be given this opportunity. And I'm a person that really respects opportunity, because I haven't had anyone open doors for me in life. I've always helped other people. And it's kind of interesting because people think, oh, you know, you must have the person who this. And you look back and you say, I wished it were that way. But I also knew that life is a series of passages. Now, set that aside for a moment. Then I remember, this was all going on yesterday in my mind, and I remember when we would have a running club on Sunday morning and there'd be 500 people show up. Again, you can see photographs of 500 people or more in Cinder Park learning how to run and race walk. Peter Roth was there, and Howard Robbins. And I also knew, looking out over the group of people, that the day would come when there wouldn't be, because there would be a time when that passage would go. I remember when a bunch of my buddies on two or three nights a week would go out dancing in the 70s and 80s, Studio 54, The Tunnel, New York, New York. And it was a best time. The music I loved, the energy of the people, the openness. It was a time of pure joy, passion, pleasure. And it balanced all the hard work and the enormous amount of focus and discipline required to do all the other projects. But it was a way of keeping balance. And again, I remember driving back uptown. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd just been dancing. We did the dancing, but not the drugs. And I said, this whole disco thing, another 5 or 6 years will be gone. Aren't we lucky to be a part of it? And I focused on that. Remember the last time I did a retreat with my audience was at Grossinger's. It's a hotel, a famous Catskill hotel. And Miss Grossinger called me and she said, we need to have one more retreat to finish off, and we thought we'd have you do it since you've been doing it for about 12 years with us. I said, fine. It was in wintertime. We packed it, brought in Linus Pauling, Jeffrey Bland, and Robert Mendelson, Deepak Chopra, in his first time doing anything like that. In fact, it was interesting. He'd been calling my office several times to see could he be a part of one of these things. It's amazing, all the great people in the field who were there. I remember, and I had, I had Jackie Mason and Dick Shawn and Little Anthony and the Imperials. People had a wonderful time. Old families, lots of Orthodox Jewish people, lots of African Americans, which you generally didn't see. But in my world, everybody gets along because they're all human beings. We had a great time. But I remember, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning and the people are dancing. And I'm thinking, wow, wonder what it's like to be Miss Grossinger. Because I could see her walking around the halls. And in the halls they had all the photographs of all Milton Berle and Shecky Green and Sid Caesar, Jerry Lewis, all the people who had performed there since the 1930s. And this was her last weekend. It was never going to be again. And I'm looking at her, looking at the walls, and thinking, what's it like to be her taking this final walk down memory lane? And then what's it for me to see all these people? Will we ever get together again? Because I really love my audience. They're wonderful human beings. So you're in that moment, at least because of my sensitivity, my psychic or intuitive sensitivity, I'm always aware of the energy around me. Possibly a little more than most, because most people are distracted. And then I was thinking of the relationships I've had and the friendships. Thank goodness my friendships have remained. I wished some of my relationships have too, but they didn't. But they were wonderful. And even when I knew they were going to end, I still appreciated the fact I had been given a gift to enjoy them. then you think about what you shared with people. Now today you're not sharing any of that. Now, all this comes around. Remember when I was BAI? When in its heyday, when it really was a vital station with Lex Hickson, there's nobody better at talking about comparative religion that I've ever met than Lex Hickson. He was brilliant. Eileen Zalist, Rick Harris, wonderful human beings. They were progressive. That's when the station was progressive. And I remember once, it was a Saturday, and it was about 1999, and I'm just walking around, with the exception of just an engineer and personal there, no one else was there. Just walking, thinking, what a wonderful gift to be able to share ideas with people and all the different ideas from a place that probably won't exist in the future the way it does now because there were lots of changes occurring. All this brings me back to connecting these dots. One of the most painful lessons of life, but also one of the most freeing lessons, is to realize that everything is temporary. There is an expiration date on everything. That doesn't mean that we have to look fatalistically at anything. To the contrary, it should tell us that when we have any gift given to us, the gift of friendship, the gift of relationship, the gift of love, the gift of creativity, of passion, be present for it, mindful of it, sensitive to it, and embrace it, because it will pass. It doesn't mean there won't be other things take its place, but for most people, what takes its place is never the same. When it comes to remarkable moments. So when I saw my family, and I would go home and share books and take box of vitamins, they never opened a vitamin. They never opened a book. They were happy for my success. But my success was my journey. It was my story to write and to live and to speak. It was not theirs. When you see a mother and father smoking, and you see them not exercising, and you see them not taking their vitamins, and you see them eating the wrong food, you can't stop them. You can only encourage them. And the closer you are, the less likely they are to take you seriously. Because after all, well, you're our son, Gary. You know. And I remember once telling my mom, "Mom, you realize that some of the most famous, wealthy people in the whole world call my office to come in and get my advice. And I help them. And not a single member of my family." It's a big family, 20 people on mom and dad's side. Never once have taken a single piece of my advice. And yet I can't get my own family to do the right thing. And mom just smiled and she said, "Well," she said, "Gary, we're not doing the right thing by you, but we're doing what we want to do. We find pleasure in what we do. And don't think we're not aware of the consequence. We are. So we're going to continue smoking and socially drinking and eating the wrong food and not exercising until our number's up." I said, "What number? You don't have, this is not something preordained. You can change." They didn't believe that. That wasn't a part of their value system. Nor my buddies. But I understood it. So when I was in the passage with them, I was fully present. And finally, there I was introduced to, in my opinion, the greatest artist in American history. His name was Paul Swan. Paul Swan was a sculptor, a painter, a mime, a dancer, a poet. He did everything across all the arts, and he did it back in the teens and 20s and 30s and 40s. I saw him when I first came to the city, and I'm like 20 years old, and his accompanist, Richard, said, why don't you come down tonight? You'll find this interesting. I'm going to be playing the piano for a guy while he dances. I said, yo, what's special about that? He's 85, and he will have a packed house in his studio. So I went out of curiosity. And here was this room packed with old women. I mean, I don't think there was a woman in that room under 80. And first this old hand comes out from behind a curtain and starts to separate the curtain. And then you start to see this man with way too much makeup on. And you think, whoa, what is this? But then as he started to do Narcissist and mime and with the music, he transformed himself completely. He had everyone in that room just mesmerized. 85. Anyhow, I became friends with him, and I remember there was a... And he had been in Carnegie Hall studio for, I think, 40 years. Then he was in the Van Dyke studio about a couple blocks away on 8th Avenue. And one night it was raining, and I was sitting there, and I was watching him as he painted. And he looked over, he says, what are you staring at, Gary? And I said, I'm photographing this in my mind. This is a special, remarkable moment. He just smiled. And I knew that that would not last. He was, I think at that point he was 88. I was on tour, and he went into a nursing home because he had some foot problems and growing toenails. And when I found out where he was, I went there. And up on 96th Street, I think it was Fortnite, you know, nursing home, I went in there, and he said, Gary, he said, I still have some art left in me, but they're not allowing me to do anything in here. I said, well, leave. And he said, well, I can't. I said, sure you can. And so I just went to pick him out. This guy came over and said, what are you doing? I'm checking him out. He says, you can't check him out. I said, sure I can. I'm going to check him out. So I picked him up, and I'm walking over to... And suddenly security appeared. You can't take him out of here. I said, look, whatever bill he owes, I'll pay it. All right? I'll sign any papers, but he's out of here. He said, well, he's not out of here. I said, friend, look, this man is a great artist. You don't know about him because he was famous in the 1930s. He was a friend of Isidore Duncan and Gertrude Stein, and he, D.H. Lawrence and Lillian Russell. People you've never heard of. A different era, a different time. A great philosopher. Great muse. And he still wants to create. Shouldn't we honor that? He said, I don't care about it. And I said, well, I'm leaving. He said, no, you're not. I says, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to walk out of here, or you're going to be in a lot of pain. And you're going to be in that bed, one of those empty beds over there. You don't want to screw with me. I'm just too fast, and I'm not going to handle being forgiving in this moment, because this man counts. You're being the little, you know, tough guy. It isn't going to work. So finally, so I wasn't kidding, he got out of the way, and I took him down. Got a cab, and I drove him up to Bedford, where I knew an old Russian who was a direct descendant of Nicholas and Alexandria. And he stayed there. He lived another 5 years, and he did over 100 more paintings. And any time I saw that there was something I was engaged in life that was important, I was present for it. But I also know there's a time when you have to realize the passage you were in is gone. You have to let it go. You have to be able to surrender that and say, let me think fondly of the remarkable times and moments I just shared, whether it was a month, a year, 5 years, but let me also now be free of that to go forward. I can always keep those great thoughts in my mind, but I have to be open to the next passage. The trouble is, if we're not open to the next passage in life, we stay stuck in the past. And if we're stuck in the past, the only emotions we're going to have are frustration, apathy, anger, and depression. If we can get present for the new passage, and if we approach the new passage with the idea that we will be mindful and it will be a learning experience, but it's our experience. It's our passage. And sometimes our family and friends and loved ones will be with us, and sometimes they will not. And we must respect that. The year was 1972. There was a woman who was a homemaker out in Denver. She had, I think, 4 kids. Her husband was a lawyer, tax lawyer. And she got a call. Her mother had died, and down in, I think it was Kentucky, and they had raised horses. She went down there for the funeral, and her father was suffering from the beginnings of Alzheimer's. And she stayed a couple extra days to take care of him. And during that period of time, just those few days, she saw that one of the people who was overseeing his place was trying to rip him off. He wasn't mentally cognizant, so this guy was trying to sell the best 2 horses he had for half their value to another place where he also worked. Well, she interceded, and then she realized that the debts were so great on her place that she would have to sell off the horses or sell the farm. Instead, she came up with an idea that she had a horse that was pregnant by a famous stallion, and that could bring in some money. So she told her husband she'd be just a little longer. That began the process of seeing this horse born, and then with a flip of a coin, the wealthiest man in America owned all these horses, had done a deal with her father that he would get the first choice of any breeding. And he chose, came down, he won, and there were 2 horses that were pregnant. He took the female, and she got the male. But intuitively, she knew the male was the right choice. He smiled, thought he had won the bet, got the better of the deal. That began a journey that her family couldn't join her in. They didn't want to. She wanted to see this horse over the next 2 years. She knew intuitively that it wasn't a normal horse, because when it was born, it immediately stood up. Horses don't just stand up when they're born. They struggle. This did. It had an energy unlike any other animal, any other horse should ever know. Her family thought she was bizarre, strange. Her husband felt emotionally and withdrawn and... But she said, I don't want to ever live with the regret of not doing something right. I don't want to get older and think, what if I would have just done that? She says, I have to, this is 1970. And so, in any case, she went for it, and she would come back home, but rarely did her family ever come down there. For all intents and purposes, they just thought she was off the wall. She didn't have any money, and her brother, who was co-owner of the property, wanted to sell the horses, including that horse she'd been working with, and she said no. And she risked everything by guaranteeing that that horse would win the Triple Crown. Well, there hadn't been a horse winning the Triple Crown in decades. And so she bet everything, which meant that she would have lost the horse, the farm, everything she owned, if it didn't win it. But it did. That horse was Secretariat. Without question, the greatest racehorse in world history. The family was there on the Belmont, the final race in the Cripple Trown, the longest race to 1.5 miles. And when Secretariat won that, her husband said he learned a lesson. But she had been living her lesson, even with the isolation, the loneliness that comes from knowing you're honoring your dream, you're taking risks, but without risk there is no reward. Little risk, little reward. Big risk, big reward. That's how it works. Hers, she's still alive today, by the way. Hers is a story of the courage when no one believes in you, to believe in yourself. When no one thinks that you could do anything right, that you're stupid, that you're crazy. But if you know it, honor it. So then you start to look at these examples. They're all about people who understood the moment they're in and live in it. And when the moment's over, surrender it and go to the next moment. Anyone who is willing to surrender the moment they're in to be ready for the next moment is a person who's growing. But to grow means you have to get out of your comfort, including the comfort of expecting other people to treat you the same way they did. The moment you change the passage, people change how they respond to you. Everything changes, and you can't make it the way it was. You can't go back. That's how I would share that lesson philosophically with you. Mark?
Yes, sir.
Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. I think it bridges a gap. The other end of it is, that's amazing, and maybe it directly relates to life energies, is that what's so bizarre to me is that people have the information in front of them, and it says, do X, and it will cause, you know, Y negative. But they say, well, maybe I'll just do a little bit of, you know, I'll have this burger one time, it won't do bad. But then it's one burger, it's, you know, cheese, it's all these other things. And even when they are, you know, living on a majority plant-based diet, I think you've said it, you know, before, you know, it's an accumulation of things. And with the information, it's, you know, I'm shocked. But I think that this really helps me better understand that. So thank you very much.
Remember, it's your passage, it's your lesson, it's your story, and it's your life. You can only hope that other people will join you in it, but more often than not, they don't. And that's why one day we look back and say, gee whiz, I remember when. But you have to get present because you're going into another journey now, another passage of life. All the best to you, Mark. I'm Gary Noll. Your turn. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment with your next call. Nice to have you on board. Let's say hello to Dominic from Nevada. Hi, Dominic.
Hello, Gary. Thank you for taking my call. I've had an anal seizure for 3 years, and it just doesn't seem to go away. I've been to doctors 3 times, and the last one suggested that I do surgery, but she said there could be some... you know, there's a 10% chance of consequences, which, you know, like one of them is loss of control and flatulence. And this is more towards like the inner part, it's like internal. Right. So I was wondering if you could recommend anything I do.
All right. How long did you have this?
It's been 3 years now.
All right. Was this associated with a hemorrhoid?
No, I was constipated for a long period of time back in 2007, and that's when it all started.
All right. What was causing your constipation?
Probably bad diet, but I have corrected that to a large extent, and is like solid 95%, so I'm rarely constipated, rarely.
I would suggest that you go to one of the clinics, of which there are many, and do a complete supervised detox, including ozonated colonics. At the same time, I would use a magnetic pad to sleep on to pulse the magnetic vibrations, and I would do acupuncture. Those put together can make a big difference. I would also take probiotics at a very high level. All right? So do the probiotics 3 times a day. Have about 50 grams of fiber a day from a multitude of sources. And then do a really strong chlorophyll cleanse. But again, supervised. The colonics will help as well. All the best to you, Dominic. Matthew from Detroit. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking our calls tonight. I'm calling. I talked to you a while back. I'm a teacher in Detroit, and I have a brother who is has a disease, MSA, multiple systems atrophy. And he's been getting PK therapy, and I wanted to know what your opinion is of that, you know, the glutathione and phosphatidyl choline lipids exchange treatments.
Those are good.
And B12 shots. He's had them for about, I think, 10 treatments now. He's either 9 or 10. And originally he had, like by the third or fourth treatment, the doctor and his assistant said they usually notice improvements by the third or fourth treatment, but which we did see, but then we're back to square one, it seems like. His BPs are dropping dramatically, and they're very low. He still has the tremors, can't walk, and all the other symptoms. They're Parkinsonian symptoms that express through this disease, MSA.
All right. Well, without being able to interview your brother in depth, I can only give you some overviews. What they're doing is fine. I would also suggest Cognitex from Life Extension.
Cognitex?
Cognitex, yes. And I would also suggest that on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we're going to begin a 6-month Healing the Brain Naturally health support group. And it can be taken by people anywhere in the United States. You don't have to be there in person, but you do have to have your medical paperwork up showing that you have these. And then you can watch on the video live stream and be able to hear all the discussions.
It's a webinar? Or?
No, it's a video stream.
Oh, okay.
Where we're going to have the group live in New York, and people with multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, dementia, memory loss, depression, anxiety, sleep disorders, all these are the kind of conditions we're working with.
Is hyperbaric chamber been proven to be effective with MSA or these type of diseases?
Not by any study, only by clinical experience by individual physicians. Dr. Perlmutter has said yes. Dr. Calliope has said yes. And Dr. Raphael Kelman have said yes.
Uh-huh.
But that's based upon the physician and an individual patient. That's not a large group that have been given it to do an actual measurement.
So it's no third-party study?
No.
Okay. And what's Cognitex? I don't follow with that.
All right. Go to Life Extension Foundation.
Okay.
And look for Cognitex. And that would be, I think, a very important addition to your brother's protocol.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. All the best to you. And we had someone here, let's see, lines are now clean, everybody started listening. Paula, hi Paula.
Hi, how you doing, Gary?
Good.
I have a two-part question pertaining to the same topic. I've been listening to some of your back episodes for PRN, and back in August you spoke about CLL and green tea. My mom has CLL, she's 83, and her last white blood count was at 60,000. Besides the green tea, what else can I add to her diet? And as a sidebar, I've been brewing her SEAC tea. And the second part of the question is, my grandmother has CLL, my mom has it, and her levels are rising. I don't want to get it. What can I do to help myself?
All right. What are your mother's symptoms?
Bruising. I mean, she's also diabetic, so she's on the insulin, and she's bruising very, very quickly. She just touches her hand, or if something lightly hits it, she bruises.
All right. Are you familiar with my documentary that I put on PBS stations called No More Diabetes?
You've mentioned it to me on the phone the last time I spoke to you.
All right. Did you get it?
No, not yet.
Well,
I will get it.
Did you get the book I wrote on this year, came out this year to go with the film?
No, I'll go up online and get them.
All right, because those will help, especially getting your mom off insulin.
Yes, I know.
Now, I would suggest the bioflavonoids,
quercetin,
at 1,000 milligrams 4 times a day.
Okay.
That'll immediately help stop the bruising.
Okay.
Also with vitamin C at 1,000 milligrams 4 to 6 times a day.
Okay.
Then you want to give your mother the best polyphenol compounds possible.
Okay.
And I would suggest 200 milligrams 4 times a day.
Okay.
Cocoa is a good source.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the very important for her would be chelation therapy.
Okay.
All right. Because you got to get the heavy metals out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to, if she's diabetic and she has this, she's almost certainly going to have damage to her epithelial tissue, in which case resveratrol. And green tea, red tea, white tea, black tea, and oolong tea, 200 milligrams each.
Okay.
Also, curcumin, 800 milligrams 3 times a day.
Okay.
That should start to make some measurable improvement.
Okay.
And all the vegetables that she wants and all the juices, and especially if you can get her some fresh wheatgrass juice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
As a preventive for me, how do I not inherit the gene or whatever you would call it that the family
gene, has? The gene is not what's important. It's the lifestyle that's important.
Okay. Their lifestyle is far different from what I now live.
All right. If you're exercising an hour a day, 6 days a week.
Yes.
Oh, good. If you're not eating any meat, bread, sugar, artificial sweetener, caffeine.
None of the above.
All right. Great. If you're eating walnuts, pine nuts, almonds, macadamias, pistachios.
Love them.
Good. Having yourself a whole grain breakfast.
Okay, no problem there.
All right. And then having salads sometimes twice a day.
I'm turning into a rabbit with all the salads.
Good. Beans, the full spectrum of legumes. Lentils, black-eyed peas, split peas, navy beans, fava beans, pinto. And the two most nourishing beans you can have, especially if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic, pinto and soy.
Okay. Very good.
Then you shouldn't have any problems, all right?
Thank you. I was taught well back in 1986.
Excellent. All the best to you, Paula. Joan from New York. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Doing great.
I am on your video. I was at your love program in New York.
Did we have sex?
I'm with Dr. Feldman also, but this is in regard to my cousin.
Yeah.
He has lymphoma. He was treated with chemo. He lives in Michigan. And he developed this MRSA, you know, a very serious bacteria. They just did a surgery on him. He had some kind of an abscess, and apparently they got most of it out. But I wondered what you might recommend.
Well, what I would recommend is, first and foremost, anyone with MRSA should get ozone.
Ozone, okay.
Yes, absolutely. And also it shows he has a very weakened immune system.
Right.
So you're going to have to build up his immunity, and that means you've got to get him off of anything that could be contributing to malabsorption and parasites.
get off of anything with to malabsorption and parasites.
That means
okay.
give him like 3,000 milligrams twice a day of glutamine.
Milligrams of what did you? Could you spell that for me, please?
Glutamine. G-L-U-T.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
G-L-U-T-A-M-I-N-E. Also give him 10 billion probiotics twice a day to three times a day.
Okay.
Alkaline foods.
Alkaline foods. Okay.
Anywhere between 7.4 and 8.
Okay.
Persimmons, pineapple, nectarines, olives.
Persimmon,
papaya,
pineapple.
Yes, those are all good. Walnuts, watermelon,
walnuts.
Cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, asparagus, artichokes, beets, celery, collard greens, cucumbers, eggplant, endive, horseradish, kale, seaweed, mustard greens, okra, onions, parsley, radishes, tomatoes, squash, lima beans and soybeans. These are all alkaline producing.
Mm-hmm.
Coconut, pine nuts, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And really focus upon the cruciferous vegetables, juicing them, because those act in providing the body with indoles, and they detoxify.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that he has olive oil and flaxseed oil combined.
Mm-hmm.
Getting either the fresh-made wheatgrass or the concentrated powders of multiple greens, like your algae, chlorella, spirulina. Those are blood purifying, especially for someone with lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
Then he should have miso, M-I-S-O, tempeh, T-E-M-P-E-H, and shiitake mushrooms, maitake mushrooms, because they stimulate T helper cells.
Mm-hmm.
You should also have him get intravenous vitamin drips.
Mm-hmm.
That will help. And lymphatic massage. All right.
Great. Thank you so much.
All the best.
I, by the way, I was on your show once. I did writing and healing. I don't know if you remember. Thank you very much.
I do remember. Well, it's nice to hear from you, Joan. Bye. We have 6 minutes to go here on the Progressive Radio Network and the Sunday evening program. You can give a call. Our lines are clear now, so we have room for maybe two more people. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. One of the reasons I put some of the photographs of different times of my life, I also, people don't know this, I have a video bio up on my, it's an hour long, and it kind of shows you the different passages of my own life, for those who might find that of interest, and then a bio of as an activist, and some of the more interesting lectures, and anyhow, the PBS specials, 26 different PBS specials, and have two new ones going up on the satellite just this month alone. So these are all passages, and you hope that a passage lasts long enough to really appreciate it, and you also really hope that people can grow so when you go from one passage to the next, they can join you. But that's not always possible, and part of our frustration is when we see someone growing and we're not willing to take that journey because we're not willing to go through that in that discomfort ourselves. In any case, that's what makes us all unique. We have a lot of important things coming up. I'll just give you a brief overview of some of the things I've been working on. I'm trying to get this one property that I'm hopeful will be the sustainable homestead, because there I want to have a whole artisan's village. I want to have an activist village where 10 people would live there, and their work would be focusing upon important social issues and providing lots of information to people, plus homesteaders. That's getting very close to happening. Got 6 new books written, including a sequel to Life Energies and Living in the Moment, plus 4 other important books, all coming out in the next 16 months. 9 films finished, 2 of the biggest, one's on Wall Street, one's on poverty, coming after in the spring and the summer, after the one that's finished now on Death by Medicine. A whole lot of good stuff. Let's say hello to Bobby, finish out the show with him from New Jersey. Hi, Bobby.
Good evening, Gary. Gary, I have a fungus between the toes, and it's been with me. I've used the tea tree oil. I use the oil of oregano. I've used the... And it goes away, but then it comes back. That's not about the toe.
It's not about the fungus on the toe. Fungus are like parasites. They thrive where the host is weak. So the weaker your immune system, the less able your body is to rebalance this. Meaning, you probably have other local focal infections and your body are not aware of it. One of the reasons I go to the dentist once every 3 months is there might be some infection in my gums that I wouldn't know about. You can't always tell what's going on just by how you feel. So once there's a clean bill of health, no different my blood, with all the traveling I do, as many countries, all the sick people I'm around, I have my blood check. I mean the most comprehensive blood workup you've ever seen. Every virus and bacteria, everything. Why? Because I'm not afraid that I might get something. Because if I do, I know what to do about it. I just want to know. Most people don't realize how many local infections they have, generally in the mouth, but and also with silver fillings, but also in the gut. And that means that the body's immune system is directed there. So they have a disproportionate amount of the immune system fighting a local infection. So then when you get another infection, the body doesn't have enough of an immune system to deal with all of it. It's been divided. So you really need to do a comprehensive exam. My suggestion, go to Dr. Martin Feldman, have him do a kinesiological exam, and he can determine kinesiologically if you have any infections elsewhere in your body that are not being addressed. Then address all those infections, and then you'll see that the fungus on the nail cleans up. It's really easy to clean nail fungus up.
Well, Gary, let me ask you, how do you prepare the mushrooms, the shiitake, the...
What I do with all the mushrooms I get, in fact, I just got some mushrooms yesterday at the farmer's market. What I do is I cut the stem off. It's too pithy, and it's not digested. And then I clean the top with water, and I press out any water on it, let it sit on paper towel. And then I put a low heat with toasted sesame oil, thinly sliced garlic, a lot of it, some shallots thinly sliced, and then depending upon the season you like, I like a Cajun seasoning. And then as I put in the shiitakes, there's not a lot of oil, and I generally stir fry them with some collard greens or kale, and throw in some cayenne pepper and different types of pepper itself, and then I put that on brown rice. It's delicious. Okay.
Okay, Gary, thank you.
All the best to you, Bobby. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for taking your time. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow at noon and again at 3. Now, stay tuned for Michael Rupert. He's got a lot to share coming right at you. Have a nice day, everyone.
The Gary Knoll Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Carol Lee.